Good morning.
Number 209, Matt and John. And I picked Firewalker because Indiana Jones. I thought this looked like it was Indiana Jones-like. John, what'd you think about Chuck Norris and Louis Gossett Jr.?
They made a good team, didn't they? They were fun together. That was a nice buddy movie. I like that. Plenty of perfect Chuck Walker kicks. drop kick, roundhouse.
Yeah, I know.
I do love that, of course. Invincible Chuck.
Can I just say... The bar fight scene, I watched that twice. And I'll tell you why. I want to see how many IKEA tables and windows got broken.
No kidding. No kidding, right? That scene was hilarious. Oh, my gosh.
Can I just say it's one door, one bar, two windows, and seven tables, in case you're wondering.
And all he had to pay was $20 for two beers. I think he got a bargain.
Yeah. Oh, man.
And then, of course, we had our Indiana Jones crossover character in here as well.
I know. Isn't it great? That's great.
I loved it.
I was like, really? Really? All right. Give him hell, Indiana Jones! Oh, yeah, this was something. I'm telling you, I remember watching this when I was a kid in the 80s, but I didn't remember too much about it. I remembered Billy from Predator.
You've seen this movie before. Oh, wow.
Long time ago. I remember Billy from Predator being in it with his eye patch that changes eyes. but
Red Cyclops.
but I didn't remember lots of parts of this here. Like the opening scene, the ending part. I didn't remember that stuff, but let's give a couple things here, John. Budget $8 million, worldwide gross almost $12 million.
Oh, yeah, break even, not bad. Make a little bit of money.
Tagline, a pair of down-and-out fortune hunters cash in on high adventure.
This movie was 86, right? So it was like a couple years after the first Indiana Jones movie. So they quickly tried to jump on that train, right? But this is before, I think this is before Chuck Norris really hit it big.
He had, 80s was prime Chuck, so I don't know.
It was definitely, maybe it was right in the middle of it, right? Right as he was on the upswing. Maybe that's what it was.
Yeah, all those old Chuck movies, it's hard to remember. Like, even the ones we did, obviously Top Dog was in the 90s.
Yeah.
Silent Rage. I don't know what year that was. But he got all those other ones, right? He Braddock, Missing in Action, Delta Force, Invasion USA. He got all these Chuck movies. But he does all his patented Chuck moves, like you said, John. Oh, boy. He's kicking so many people in the tables. I started laughing. And all these people kept flying through tables. Oh, like, this is great.
There was definitely parts of this movie where it felt a little cheesy, but you know what, you accepted it and you moved on, and then it was fun.
Yeah, I know. The movie starts with this chase in the desert, and they're driving their Jeep. They're getting chased by guys in dune buggies, and these guys are throwing grenades at them, John. I was like, well,
getting shot at, grenades getting thrown at them. and he's running out of gas, and then he crashes the Jeep into a pool of water in the middle of the desert. There's some luck for you.
Yeah, there are some good lines in this movie. There's some funny lines in here. I'll give them that. You know, but yeah, when he drives into this water, he's like, "Yeah, what are the odds?"
So, I'm like, last time I saw a pond of water in the middle of the desert, there was some, I think, avocado women, avocado jungle women there.
That led to nothing but trouble. All right. they, instead of just killing them, we don't know why they're being chased. I don't think we know. They stole something. Is that what? I don't know.
I don't really know.
But the bad guys tie them to the desert.
This is a classic bad guy move, right? Instead of just doing the obvious and killing them and moving on, you spent all this effort into chasing them down. You're like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to let you die a slow and painful death, and I'm not going to watch.
I'm just going to assume everything went as planned. All
right? Yeah. Why would I not?
And if it's something we've learned, John, bad guys do not know how to tie people up or keep them tied up. All right? They just
Pushing now, 80s. How could you expect the dude? So the bad guy gives Chuck a bottle of what, Perrier water or something, right? Hey, you know, you can't drink it, but it'll be right there in your hand. Ha ha ha. And then, but it's Chuck Norris. He just breaks the bottle with his bare fist, squeezes it, and he breaks it. And I'm like, wow. Well, that's nice.
I know. I was like, oh, well. Yeah, so then they get out and they just, I guess they're not too far into the desert.
Yeah, they walk their way to the local bar and have some dark beers.
Well, he's like, so Chuck's name is Max and Louis Gossett Jr. is Leo. We got Max and Leo. So Max is like, boy, I sure could go for a beer from Tubbs. And he's like, well, that's 5,000 miles away. And then they're like, poof, they're there. I'm like, all right, well.
I have no idea.
But this shady bar, we meet Patricia, and she's looking for some adventurous fellas to help her locate some treasure. So, of course, the bartender says, go talk to those two morons.
of course, she comes up and starts talking to them, and they're like, oh, yeah, we can help you out.
Oh, yeah, she's got a map to gold, and she's talking cyclopses and all this other stuff.
That's the funny part too. It's like, oh, you're not gonna believe me. You're gonna think I'm crazy. Like when she said that, I'm like, yeah, that did sound kind of crazy. I have to go with that. I think you're right. Because she's like, there's gonna be a red cyclops with long black hair. I'm like, what? Yeah, he was funny. He goes, this might be out of our league. You know, dragons, sea serpents, red cyclopses.
I know. Like, oh, so, but boy, she must be onto something because a random guy starts shooting crossbows at them.
A crossbow? Who does that?
Oh, no, boy. Do you hear this cat? Do you hear this? Is this coming through?
Oh, no, I can't hear you. Cat's, looking for attention.
Yeah, whenever I'm telling you, whenever the wife goes to bed, all this cat just starts going. Wah, wah, wah. I'm always talking to her. I'm like, one, it goes, wah. I go, what? I go, wah. I'm like, what? I never had a cat to talk this much, man. Every night. next thing you know is daylight and they're riding some horses. You're like, all right.
Yep.
This movie doesn't bother with any of the in-between shit. You know, they're just like, okay, nope. Here you are. We're in a jungle.
Right to it. Yep. There's a sacred mountain we got to climb. Yep. great.
Yeah, so they go to this place, and we see somebody's watching them real close, you know.
They find
a lot of skeletons. Max finds a dagger in one of the skulls.
Inside a skull? That was an interesting place to have been. Yeah. I wonder if so, like a gold dagger. Was it really gold or was it just like gold plated? I mean, if that was a real solid gold dagger, that thing alone would have made them, you know, for life. Like, do you not know the value of gold?
You know, I was with you. I was like, wow, yeah. But, yeah, they're out there. There's bigger stuff, right? We're talking much bigger stuff.
Yeah.
So we got cave people grabbing Patricia. And we got another guy. Max tries to shoot, and he misses a lot. Boy, Chuck Norris, boy. I wonder how he felt when he read the script. He's like, all right, you're not good at shooting. Yeah. Wait a minute. I'm Delta Force.
You can really kill people with your feet, but don't waste your time with a gun. You know, if he had a bazooka and he was shooting at some like blow up dolls, he probably would have been fine.
Mm-hmm. No doubt when it comes to that. Mm-hmm. I just love how we still remember things from our sixth episode.
So long ago.
Just because how amazing Hard Ticket to Hawaii really is.
Not paradise all the time.
It's so amazing. I was looking at this list today and I was like, boy, I forget some of these movies that we've actually done. And I'm like, wow, some of these I don't remember at all.
Yeah, you know,
I'm looking at.
I'm like,
wow, we really did. Like, you know, I'm like, wow, that's. I don't remember one thing from that movie.
Some movies are more memorable than others for good reasons.
What?
Meow.
Okay. Can you hear now?
Yeah, I can. I can hear him. What's going on?
I don't know. Okay. Anyway. Sitting over there looking at me. Don't look at me. Yeah, so Max tries to shoot this guy. He misses a lot, so Leah shoots him. But when it comes to throwing knives into people's chest, Max has got that down pretty good, John. So
yeah,
he's pretty good at that. And this last guy, when he shoots and misses and it ricochets seven times and then hits the guy, that's pretty good.
Yeah. There was a bunch of ricocheting. I'm like, I don't think that's how it works, but all right.
You get to see some more Chuck kicking. Can't get enough of that, you know. And this was pretty funny when Chuck's holding up the dagger and this guy's got Patricia and the guy sees the dagger, so he just jumps off the cliff and Chuck's like, I didn't tell him to jump.
Yeah. I didn't tell him to jump. I don't know.
Why is he so scared of that thing? Like, what?
I don't know. There was no good reason for that, right? Because knowing the movie now that we know it, it's like, well, why did you do that?
I don't know.
Of course, you know, we hear at the end of the movie that they didn't know the power that that dagger possessed, and to be honest, we still don't know. we never really learned.
Yeah, really, exactly what? Because let me. I don't know about you, but the big question at the end, I still didn't get answered. But
yeah,
this is another one. I'm like, I don't know. Maybe Tall Eagle knows. Let's go find him and talk to him.
Yep. He's hanging out in a shack watching I Love Lucy.
Come on, you gotta upgrade. Get the YouTube TV, man. Come on, you gotta Like, what are you doing here? There's better stuff on. Watch some American Ninja Warrior. Come on.
Ooh, there you go. Yeah. Maybe some old episodes of Voyager. I could do some Star Trek.
So they're like, hi, would you tell us some stories? And he's like, buckle up, here we go.
Yeah, telling stories, that's what I do.
That's all I do. Oh, and he's like, Firewalker, blah, blah, something, something. I don't know.
Firewalker, something, goes, flies into the sun, something, and then he falls asleep. Spaniards, I don't know, yeah.
And gold.
But then he gives, he does give Patricia a bag full of dusty bone magic to protect her from evil spirits.
You know, Dad, where do you keep your dusty dusty bones? Magic dusty bones.
Is that like cremated people? Is that what he gave her? Like,
I don't know, but they're flammable as hell.
Did he pull a scoop out of an urn and put it in a bag? And be like, here you go. This is Aunt Susie. She'll protect you.
Oh, yeah. But boy, it comes in handy.
You know? It did. Mm-hmm.
We see, I called him Eye Patch Guy, Billy from Predator. he's chanting, holding a snake over a fire. That's all you really need to know, right?
Yep. making Indian sounds, I think.
It's a fun Friday night, you know.
It's what you do.
Okay.
And so, at the same time he's doing that, we get Tall Eagle anti-chanting, right? Trying to fight his curse. So this is like when Harry Potter is trying to get the Seeker, right? And he thinks Slytherin's out to get him, but maybe not. You know, anyway.
Yeah, you don't know. Like, oh, they're battle chanting here, like okay, what's going on here? And then, oh boy, it's just one of the most believable things in the movie happens here, where Chuck's hanging out in his room and knock at the door, and he's like, oh, hello. And this woman's like, hello, I have magic potion from Tall Eagle, he said you should drink. And Chuck's like, no problem.
So, all right. Drinks it, starts making out with her.
That's exactly what anybody would do. I like it, Chuck. I like it.
Yeah, beautiful stranger knocks on my door. Come on in.
I mean, what's going to happen? You know, she's going to drug you and turn into a snake? That sounds like it's probably not going to happen. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm 95% sure I'm going to be okay.
Oh, shit. Oh boy. Yeah, they start macking a little bit. Next thing you know, old Max passes out. And this woman does the slowest going to stab you in the chest you'll see.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't want to disturb the air in the room with that knife blade.
So Patricia saves the day, then Leo saves her. And it's a whole thing. They end up, I guess the guy who owns the place, they stick her in a room, I guess, you can't get out of. But when they go looking for her again, they were trying to tell us she turned into a snake here. I don't know.
Is that what happened?
They showed a snake up in the ceiling, and I'm like, they're like, there's no way she got out. Then they showed a snake in the ceiling, and I'm like, so she's a snake. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Did a snake eat her? I don't know.
That don't know might be right. Yeah.
I don't know. Gotta watch that jungle. Next thing you know, they're on a plane. Yep. I don't know.
Find a San Miguel, wherever that is, and they're on a crappy plane, the engine catching on fire, like. Eh. Okay. And I ask a question, Matt. I don't know if you've flown very often. Can you sleep on a plane? I cannot. I've never been able to sleep on a plane.
I can sleep anywhere at any given moment. So I have dozed off on planes.
I've tried hard because, like, I've had some late flights too, where I don't get in until 1 in the morning or something. I just can't do it. I just can't sleep. The air sucks. It's not comfortable. I don't want to be there. Everything is horrid. I'm like, I can't sleep on a plane. I don't want to be on the plane, you know.
Well, I told you, you know, the last time we flew back from Vegas on the airline that rhymes with Weirit.
Yep.
They wanted me to pay $7 for Wi-Fi, and I said, no, I'm not doing that. So we took the red eye, right? We flew from, like, midnight to 5 a.m. And I dozed off a little bit, but I didn't go into a deep sleep. But, you know, that on that flight, nobody was up. You know, I mean, it's quiet.
One to sleep. Yeah, you have the best chance of sleeping on that flight. You're right.
Yeah, so that I think Terry fell asleep more than I did. I was just kind of had my head up against the wall in front of me, and I was just like,
Chuck had no problem on this plane. He was sleeping hard. Engines on fire, no big deal. People freaking out around you, no big deal.
Well, what was this? Was the pilot walking down the aisle with a parachute?
Was it the pilot? I wasn't sure who it was.
I don't know. But Leo's like, "Hey, what you doing?" Because that would freak you out seeing that shit.
I said, "Oh no, it's just a small, tiny fire. It's no big deal. Just go back to sleep."
Like, all right, I don't have Indiana Jones with me to jump out of the plane with. All right.
Oh my gosh.
We don't have a raft.
Yeah, a raft to fly out of the plane. We don't need a boat. We need a parachute.
So there's some interesting. I call it here. Max trying to flirt. Like he does the whole movie with Patricia.
Yeah.
And as I put it, she says something about she sees the future sometimes, but more importantly, that she sleeps in the nude.
Yes, important details that we learn.
Okay. Correct me if I'm wrong. Maybe I think I brought this up to you before, but I'll do it again, John. And I've had this talk with Terry before, too. And we are complete opposites here when it comes to our percentages of people we believe sleep in the nude. All right. Now, she's saying it's real high. And I'm saying you're wrong. I go, it is not that high. And I want to see where you lie in this, right? Because I'm saying it's like, I don't know, 25%. You know, she's talking 70%. And I go, no way.
Wow.
I mean,
I think what she's trying to say is she wants to sleep in the nude with you.
Who says she doesn't? I'm not saying
that's Fair enough. All right.
I'm just saying that's what she says. And I'm like, I think you're a little high. I think you're
I think if you have kids, it's really hard to sleep in the nude because they're going to walk in your room and you're going to be like, oh shit, I'm nude.
Oh boy. Especially when you get a kid like mine who just kicks the door in at 5 a.m. and is like, I need pancakes.
Feed me. Yeah. No, I can't. I couldn't because, my 5-year-old walks in at, like you said, 5, 6 in the morning, like, hey, I'm going to jump in bed with you. And you're like, fine, whatever. I'm going to the bathroom.
Okay. But Chuck, I think he said something like, oh, I thought you were going to tell me something personal, like you're sleeping in the nude. And I'm like, oh.
This is while they're at this bar, nice bar in this nice town after they went to their nice hotel, which all were, you know, definitely crappy ass places. But, and he buys, I think, two beers. Maybe tall draft beers, right? And he paid $20, and I'm like, that's expensive today. You know, today that would be a lot of money for two beers, especially in San Miguel, where I would expect it to be like $2.
Yeah, you know, this is 95% creek water. You got your, I mean, come on now.
Yeah. I was like, that seems a bit steep for this town. I don't know. And then, and of course, they're there in this place and trying to find some information. What was it? Who do they have on these pictures? Where did they get these pictures from? And what, right, they started showing people these photos, and I'm like, where did I miss this? When did they get these photos? And what?
It's not important, John. It's not important.
I missed it. I had no idea. I'm like, what are they showing them pictures of? And what? It must have been of that cave that they found on the Sacred Mountain.
Oh,
where they had like the crappy wall drawings, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It must be what it was. I have no idea.
We'll go with that, John. We'll go with that.
Yeah.
So yeah. So then, Max here, he starts waving around money. You know, when you know you can kick the crap out of anybody in the bar, you can start waving money around.
That's right.
You know, so yeah, $100 American for some info, and he gets a taker. John, did you recognize this fellow?
He was familiar. Who was he?
So he's been in one movie we've done before, which is he was the psychiatrist in Jack Frost 2.
Oh,
Revenge of the Mutant Killer Snowman. Which, of course, is number 138. But more importantly, John, I think you might know him as the wise man from Army of Darkness.
That's who he was. Yes. Definitely recognize him now. Yep. You're absolutely right about that. Yeah. You must.
Chosen one.
Chosen one. You must take the Necronomicon and recite these words.
It's not that hard. Sure. Did you say
three words?
Yeah.
Yeah, basically.
What Greece cinema. I mean, darkness
is the best. It is the best.
That new Evil Dead movie is on not HBO Max, the Max.
Max.
But I can't get anybody to watch it with me. And I'm like, well, I guess I just got to watch this by myself. Nobody around here likes horror movies. So I'm like, well.
No. Hell, oh, man.
I'm going to have to watch it myself. So, yeah. And next thing you know, biggest guy in the bar doesn't like Max for some reason.
This guy is not just big. He's huge, right? I mean, this is like Andre the Giant's brother. You know? This is a big dude.
And Max doesn't speak the language, but Leo does. So Leo's translating for him what the guy's saying to him. And he said that his mother was a pig and his father was a dog.
There's some real insults there. You know, a little earlier in the movie, I believe Chuck said he called Leo a dad gum sissy. Yep. Dad gum.
You don't hear dad gum much anymore, John, I gotta say.
Nope. Dad gum.
But yeah, and this guy is spits on his shoes. And next thing you know, Leo says he said you have sexual relations with goats.
Oh no. I mean, in San Miguel, maybe. But.
Lita's not a sheep. You gotta be careful. Dangerous. It's a sheep. You don't want to. No sheep. So Leo's like, well, let me try talking to him. And then the guy spits on him, and then Leo throws a punch. And then Chuck's like, I'm going to sit back and watch Leo get the crap beat out of him for a while.
He was like, I'm wearing him down. Like, I don't think you are.
Yeah, Leo gets thrown around for a while. Then Max is like, oh, I guess he's really in trouble. Let me go. And he just chokes the guy out in 5 seconds.
Yep, sleeper move, done. And during this bar fight that consumes the next few minutes, they're fighting, and we've got some drop kicks and roundhouses and, you know, classic Chuck stuff. But like you mentioned, the damage caused in this place. Like, now I know why the beers were $20. Because they destroyed everything. Now, granted, the IKEA quality tables that they built with no screws, I probably weren't worth that much. But
I'm telling you, this had me cracking up, man. I'm telling you, this is just great. So many tables are falling apart. I'm like, this it's just outstanding.
Yep. Yeah, I haven't seen that much furniture fall apart since some random director drove through a desert knocking down chairs to show a movie about a tire.
You know what this made me think of is what is it? No Holds Barred.
When oh,
the
yeah.
Boxers is it No Holds Barred where he stops the robbery in the restaurant and he breaks all the shit? I think that's what that was. I think that was No Holds Barred. Oh, yeah. But, yeah, there's, I told you, 7 tables are going to have to be put back together with some fucking Gorilla Glue or whatever they got later.
And then these tables must have been made of balsa wood and IKEA screws. That's what I wrote down.
So the wise man from Army of Darkness, Boggs, that's his name, Boggs. After he gives them the info, he goes right to Eyepatch Guy and he's like, hey, this is what I told them. You son of a bitch. You son of a bitch.
He gives them this important information and you think you'd be appreciative? No. Instead, the dude squeezes his face, his cheeks, and he dies. So squeezed his cheeks to death? Is that what he did?
That's a new one. That's a new one.
If you squeeze my jaw too hard, I might die. What?
Are you questioning Eye Patch Guy?
Oh, it's impressive. I got to admit. Like, Red maybe Cyclops. He just sucked the life out of his face through his hand. Maybe that's what he was doing.
You know who he could have used in that situation? Ash. So next thing you know, we got our three people dressed as two priests and a nun getting on train.
And
what?
I'm like, this is either the worst or the best disguise ever, right? For one, you're going to stick out like a sore thumb. So anybody who knows at all what you look like that while you're here, they're going to see you. But on the other hand, you know, it worked. So who cares?
It's funny. I'm like, where'd they get this stuff? You know what? It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
You know?
And they look, it was nice too. It was like clean. It didn't look like, you know, some crummy stuff they had in a bag.
Some churches just kind of laying around as extras anyway.
So they sneak onto this train, right? Nobody looks for a boarding pass. Why not? Why would they? And then they just find a private room on one of the cars and go in. Do you think that there were many of those empty rooms on the train?
Did you see the rest of the train? It's like 8 people in a seat, and they're like, oh, this one's free. Like, what? Wait a
minute. Yeah, this Harry Potter room, let's go in there. You know, that's what it looked like. They go, all right.
They go, oh, all right. It is funny when you got Max, the fake priest, trying to bang Patricia, the fake nun, while they're on this train ride.
Yeah, he's hitting on Patricia, the nun.
So the train gets stopped by the army. Yeah. I guess this is just what happens. I don't know if this is them looking for them or are they just stopping the train just to stop the train. I don't. I have no idea.
Right, because they just started asking everybody for their papers, and it's just like, well, are you really just doing train security? And then they shoot somebody who doesn't have their papers. Like, really?
Yeah, this was a funny part where they're like, where Max is like, oh, it's probably just routine question. And then there's a gunshot. Leo's like, I don't like the routine.
Yeah, right.
They make them fake prey over the gunshot guy, who turns out did have papers, so they shot him for no reason. oops.
He's like, I don't know what to say. He's like, just say something in Latin. He's like, I don't know any Latin. We'll just make it up. They don't know any Latin either. And he's like, Max A, this A is all your fault. Amen.
It's pretty good.
So I did catch something else too. Like, so at the end, so this guy, he lives, and they're like, oh, it was a miracle and you saved him and blah, blah, blah. And then the military dude who was like trying, who was at first asking for the papers and stuff. He's like, you know, hey, will you give me a blessing? And Max goes, e pluribus unum, with does the cross, right? And I'm like, okay, wait a minute. I know this one, right? So I had to Google that. E pluribus unum was the U.S. motto. It's of out of many, one. Out of many becomes one, right? So that was the original motto. It was 13 letters, which was symbolic of the original 13 colonies.
Oh, man.
But was replaced in 1956 with In God We Trust. That is now our official motto.
Yeah, see, I thought that it had something to do with the money. I thought, okay.
Now you've been educated. E pluribus unum, out of many, one.
There you go.
The U.S. original U.S. motto.
Yeah. Yeah, Chuck was spitting nonsense. No, it wasn't.
Nope, he's laid some education on you fools.
So they hop off the train. They're in some kind of jungle. I don't know.
Chidal town.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
They're all getting chased. They kind of get a little separated. We got, you know, Chuck saving Leo, kick saving Leo. We got this part with Patricia.
Yeah.
Okay. So she's hiding. Got a great hiding spot, it looked like.
Great one. She was fine.
And she knows they're getting chased by an army, right? So she hears a crunch and she's like, Max? Leo? So she comes out of the bush and it's just an army guy drinking. And he's like, right. Oh, hi. And so...
Yeah, like, you know, what do you think of making a sound? Like, let them whisper your name and then you respond.
And so her plan is she fake passes out. So the army guy is like, well, never a better time now to do some jungle raping. So
he starts pulling off his pants and she grabs his gun. And that's it for him. Yeah. It was funny, though, because like she then reconnects up with Max and Leo. Like, where'd you get that gun? She goes, oh, it was a gift from an old lover.
I remember Max was like, what? And this is the part where I wrote down, why does eye patch guy's eye patch keep changing eyes? Oh. I'm like, boy, that sounds like how... Oh, no. Was that supposed to be on purpose? That has to be on purpose for some reason, right?
If it was, you know, it was subtle enough, so I think it was just movie blunder, you know.
So unfortunately, all the army people, they actually find them, bring them back to their camp, and they're gonna cut their heads off.
Yeah, they stole the dagger, they captured them, and now they're gonna be beheaded. And it was right before that, he's like, Max goes, Leo, stay cool. Let's just keep on our heads. And then there they are, about to chop their heads off.
Need a new plan. But luckily, they're saved because an old friend of Max named Corky shows up, Jed.
Yeah, this is from Indiana Jones, Sala. Or, if you prefer Doyati from King Solomon's Mines.
Basically, no way. Really?
Yeah, remember he was in King Solomon's Mines. Yeah.
Boy, he loves these adventure movies, man.
Yep.
King Solomon's Mines. What a classic that is.
Yep.
Number 10. You know, John, I see it every. There's a sequel to that movie.
Yeah. You know that. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
I see it. Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes I just miss it or something. I've looked at it.
I saw it sometime. The other day. I was like, hey, wait a minute. So, yeah, Corky, Max's old war buddy, I guess. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, hey, you want some warm jungle wine? It's party time. I'm like, oh, yeah. Hey.
Do some dancing in the rain. We're throwing knives at people's heads. Telling stories. Corky tells him he's going to be king. And he's serious. I don't know.
How about this car? Yeah. Okay. I want to say something. Okay. I haven't gone on an adventure through a jungle in, what, a couple days. All right. Mm. So, but Corky's like, here you go. Take this bug, camo bug.
Yeah. Volkswagen Beetle. It's got a grill guard and it's in camo, but otherwise it's just a beetle. And go drive through the jungle in the wild, in the brush. And that's what they do.
Just go drive through the jungle. No, just go drive through the jungle with it. And it's like, all right.
Look, maybe you give me something with four-wheel drive. That might be nice.
Instead, he's like, would you like to take a couple cocks with you? They give him some fucking chickens.
They throw some chickens and some pigs in there. Why not?
So let me just make something clear, John. If we're ever in a situation where you and me are traveling through the jungles looking for gold, I just want to make something clear to you that if we come up on a stream, a pond, a lake, you don't have to worry about me jumping in to get a bath. All right. I'm not going to do that. All right. I'm not going to
do that. Yeah.
I'm not going to do that. All right. Yeah, too many.
Every time you've seen one like this, if it's not a crocodile, it's piranhas or snakes or something, eels.
Yeah.
Or, No. Stay out of that.
Yep. Something to swim right up your pee hole, eat your brain. You don't want that. You don't want
don't
it.
Want
you
that.
Don't want it. Mm-mm. Not worth it.
Another thing too, like I don't know that I'd set up camp next to a pond with an alligator in it. No, I don't think I would.
I don't think that's a good idea either, John. I was thinking that too.
Maybe I'd sleep in the car, maybe, but
that's a good idea. That's a pretty good idea. Yeah. I was like, no, you don't know what's out there. No. So finally, Max and Patricia get a little kissy going, and they're like, Leo has disappeared.
Oops. And it looks like there's blood, and he probably got ate by the alligator.
Like, I was kind of like, wow, did he really? Maybe he did.
Maybe. Yeah. I was like, he's too good of a character in this movie to just be dead right now. But then again, I don't know. Right?
Yeah, you don't know. So Max is like, he wants to leave. Patricia's like, no. So he's like, all right. So they're like, well, we got to cross this stream here. And Max is like, this looks like a good spot.
Yeah, I'll drive this high-riding Volkswagen through this river. I'm sure it's not too deep. Now, another thing we find out is he doesn't know how to swim very well. And I'm thinking, if you don't know how to swim very well, I think I'd be really sure that this is a good place to cross before I drive in and sink the car.
Plus, I don't think they know exactly how far away the temple is at this point, because if you lose the car, like, this could be a long journey.
Yeah.
Which this will come back for a question I have later on too, because the car, they lose the car here.
Yep.
So they're but luckily right after that they find the temple. And all these hidden doors in this place, and you can tell there's somebody in there with them.
Yeah.
But eventually they come into a room and there's Leo hanging from a rope over some boiling water? Question mark?
Yeah, so maybe there's lava in the jungle? Is this a volcanic jungle?
Is somebody going to get their heart ripped out right now? We're short round. Yeah. Is short round here? So Eye Patch guy is, I guess, holding him up with this rope, and he's like, yeah, thanks for coming, but yeah, I just want her, so
give me the girl and give me the knife. That's all he wants. And he basically gets both of those things.
It's interesting when Max throws the dagger at him and he catches it before it hits him in the heart. Like, whoa. Yeah. This is his plan. He's got to sacrifice her with the dagger to become the Firewalker and fly into the sun. And I don't know. I don't know what the end game is here for this guy. I don't know. Get powers, I guess. I don't know.
Yep. He's trying to become something more, I think. And in the meantime, Max has to save Leo. So he jumps on him. And now they're both dangling from this rope. So I'm like, well, that didn't seem to help very much. They start swinging. I'm like, well, I think Leo could have done that. I don't see why you needed to be involved. But eventually they get lucky and the rope snaps and they fall to the side and not in the water. It wasn't skill or anything they did. It just luck.
Yeah, the whole time they're bickering at each other. Yeah.
Then we see Cyclops Man carrying Patricia. She's limp, so I don't know what's going on with her. She's in a trance, and she's in a new sacrificial outfit. So there's that.
Hey, how'd I get into this outfit? Wait a minute. Don't question. No questions. Sacrifice is starting. You know, these sacrifices, John, it's never a stab, it's over. You got to do the chanting. You got to do the
hand waving. Yeah.
It takes a while.
Got to get ready. Yep.
I did chuckle when, you know, right before he's going to stab her, you know, the guys show up and then Max just shoots him. Burp. There you go.
Done. Oh, wow. He actually shot him, too. He actually hit him. Amazing.
Nobody can believe he actually hit him on the first shot. And I'm like, is this how this movie's going to end? Because I'm like, if it is, it's kind of great. I got it. He just shoots him, and it's the end. Like, okay. Not even one kick, not a kick. Oh, man.
Patricia, then, like, they're trying to find the gold. They're like, well, let's keep looking. And she figures out that the dagger has to go into the altar. She goes, I got it. And I said, oh, man, more King Solomon mines. Nice. I got it.
And oh boy, this thing opens up to a secret place full of lots of gold.
Gold.
Oh boy.
Lots of gold, lots of different things in there. All kinds
so,
of.
This leads to my big question, John. How are they going to carry all this gold back?
Nope.
Yeah. I mean, whoops.
Gold is very heavy. So a small chunk of it for one person to carry is probably all you're going to get, you know? So they fill up like big sacks. I'm like, I don't know.
You guys spent the night here, what, one night? And you drove a car the rest of the way. Like, hauling all this stuff back, right? You needed Corky to get you some donkeys, like he did for Indian
last
year. That's
what you needed, right? Get some camels. That's what you need.
Oh, boy. But, yeah, and they load up all these bags. And then here comes a question. Hey, Red Cyclops, he's alive.
Cool. John. How is he alive? Don't know.
Is it like part of the sacrifice when you get the chanting done, you're half done? Like I this guy's got a hole right in the middle of his chest. And I'm trying to
But it takes a few more Chuck Norris kicks to take him down.
My favorite thing, John, is Chuck has shot this guy in the chest, assumed he was dead. The guy now is alive. And Chuck says to him, let's see how tough you are. I'm like, you shot him. He's pretty tough. You shot him. And
he took a bullet to the chest.
He's pretty tough. Oh, man, that cracked me up. But, yeah, Chuck's got to do some, you know, a bullet can't stop him, but you give Chuck a roundhouse kick, and you know what? That'll do it.
Game over, man.
He gets a little help from Patricia stabbing him in the back with the dagger.
Yeah.
He lands on that sacrificing table there, and she pours that magic fire bone dust on him.
And we're like, well, that was weird. I don't know why she did that, but whatever. And then it spontaneously combusts. And he just burned in there. I'm like, how did that happen?
Huh?
And they just left the dagger in his back, burning away.
Oh, man. You're like, maybe he's dead? Question mark? I don't know.
Yeah, probably.
Maybe. Maybe.
We still don't know what the special powers of this knife was, this dagger, what it could do. Never got there.
Mm-hmm. He is a fire walker.
He never walked on any fire. He did burn to death, but
on fire. I was waiting for that one, but that didn't happen. That's what I wanted one of them to say is he gets up while he's on fire and them to go, look at him, he's a fire walker. Just give it to me. That's what we needed right there.
Close credits. Yes.
End scene. Fuck your boat. We're going right there. We're going right there.
Yep.
But yeah, instead, I guess they hauled their hundreds and hundreds of pounds of gold out through the jungle.
Across the river and somewhere. Somehow. Maybe they pulled the car out of the water. I don't know.
We all know.
Kicked the car out of the water, probably.
We all know if they strolled into Corky's camp with those bags of gold, Corky is going to take all that gold.
Yep. They're not keeping any of that. And then what? They hopped on the train, and the militants was like, "Oh, sure, you can go with all that gold, no problem."
They got their priest outfit on with their gold. We cut to the. We see a boat, and everybody's having some, looks like a brunch good time at a fancy place. They're rich. Everything's going to be just fine, Jack. Or is it?
Or is it? Who's the bartender? Who's this guy that says, "So we meet again. So, gentlemen, we meet again." Who's the bartender?
Who's the bartender?
Yeah, what was that guy?
He's the general.
Which, from where?
The guy from the beginning of the movie who gave him the bottle of water.
Oh, the dude from the beginning. Oh, okay. Yep, got it. Got it. Got it. Got it. Got it. Yep.
And I'm
who
like,
gave him the Perrier water. We don't really, because he really wasn't in the movie for very long. It was just a few minutes at the very beginning, or minute maybe at the beginning. Yeah. I was like, wait a minute, which guy is this? And I couldn't figure it out. So that makes sense.
Yeah, that's him. And I'm like, boy, he must have took coming back and seeing them escape really rough. Now he's a bartender.
Is he demoted to bartender?
Oh boy, but we never saw Firewalker 2 yet. So I'm just saying, we're coming up on 40 years here. Let's
come on now.
But yeah, in honor of us watching Indiana Jones, we gave Firewalker a watch, and that's Firewalker. Not too bad, John.
Not too bad.
But let's see what you got.
All right, so this one, the line on the movie is, it says, "A bite from a radioactive chihuahua triggers a curse."
Okay, that's all I need.
The name of the movie is Curse of the Werewawa. Curse of the Werewawa. Because Chihuahua, right? So a Werewawa. I'm like, we've had a Zombiever. Now we have a Werewawa.
I'm trying to find this. Hold on. I'm trying to find it. I want to see this.
Curse of the Werewawa.
2021.
Pretty new. Yep. Look pretty new.
John? Okay, yep. I got to tell you something. As I'm looking at this, did you see how long this movie was?
Oh, I did not. How long is it?
Okay, I am not going to tell you. John.
I've done this before where I've picked a really long movie.
I want to see if this is longer than that one. All right, hold on.
Oh, no. How could this be a long movie? I didn't even think to look at the time.
Hold on. Nope. Knight Riders are still longer, but this one is.
Oh, my. Really? That long of a movie? Holy crap.
All right, John, I'll tell you. 2 hours, 7 minutes.
Over 2 hours? Oh, my God. What have I done? The trailer doesn't look that good.
I was like, what? Wait a minute. What?
How do we have a movie that long about a chihuahua?
Dustin is bitten by a radioactive chihuahua. Once a curse takes hold of Dustin, he and Gary are forced to run for their lives from the monster slayer Van Helsing.
That's right.
Oh, boy. All right.
Buckle up.
I can't believe it. This smells like an 84-minute one, but I guess I know. All right, well, I got to tell you, John, the premise has got me hooked. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Maybe it'll be a nail biter. We'll be through. Get through it quickly.
Look at this poster. Oh, this poster is amazing. Oh, it's great. What the poster says, what's short, hairy, and will wreck your Friday night? That's the poster.
Mm-hmm.
All right. All right, John. Well, we'll give her a shot. I'll talk to you later.
All right, till then.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.